let me get back to your album and your work then. Well, let me do one more history thing, because I didn't. It was a gap when I was going through the tape. What led you to go coast to coast from Berkeley to New York in winter of 1980? I mean, were you just feeling like that's the place to be, or how do you remember that?
Well, in 1978, I moved back to Illinois from Austin, basically because I was just a broken person. I mean, I didn't know what to do, and I was having my own sort of emotional crises, and, you know, I hit a wall. And I moved to Berkeley because I was too scared to move to New York, and I knew somebody in Berkeley. I mean, I thought, okay, well, it should be Los Angeles or New York. That's what I should do. And this idea of going to either one of those places was not because I had anything together. It's because I knew I couldn't stay in Illinois anymore. And it was just kind of do or die.
Is that where your family was at that time?
Yeah, my family was still in Carbondale, Illinois, where I went to high school and tried to go to college and didn't stick it out. But I just knew I couldn't. That was not the place for me to be. And I was pretty terrified to go anywhere else, but I had, that's when I really started drinking heavily. So I basically just drank myself some courage, you know, and I just had to do something. So I knew someone in Berkeley, an old friend, and that somehow made it easier to go there. And I did, and I stayed about a year and a half, and then, you know, my old friend Buddy Miller, who had gone to New York and done country music, called me and asked me to come to New York and replace who is now his wife, Julie Miller. They weren't married at the time, and she had left the group, and he asked me to replace her, and that's how I got to New York. Mm-hmm. Because Buddy basically provided a way for me to get there.
Did you meet Buddy in Austin?
I met Buddy in Austin in 1976, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, I am bouncing around, forgive me of that, but let's get back to some of the tracks and tell me, first of all, I do have to ask just to fill in the story. You know, I watched you guys working on Cinnamon Road all afternoon there with Greg Lees. And,
right.
And, you know, one of the last things you guys said to me is that, okay, we'll record for 5 hours, we'll listen for 10, we'll talk about it for 15, and, you know, then we'll decide what to do. And as it turns out, you didn't decide to use any of Greg's tracks there. And I'm just wondering if you could sort of fill me in on the process of evaluating that stuff so that I can kind of finish telling that story. And John already sent me an email explaining that to me, saying, you know, it was no slight to Greg, but that was just, you know, part of the process.
Yeah. And as a producer, John had more to do with that. I mean, I think in the past, I, you know, probably would have. There was an enormous amount of tracks to go through, of Greg's. That's, we had him for whatever, one day, 2 days, I forget, and we just put him on everything we could think of, and did as many takes as we thought we needed to do, to get as many good ideas on there as we could get. And, you know, in the end, there was tons of stuff to go through, and I just gave John free rein to go through it and make a decision. And he did. And what ended up happening was Greg's part on These Four Walls was perfect. And everywhere else that we put him, it was not that Greg didn't do a good job, it was just what the personality of the song was asking for, and, you know, you don't want to overdo anything. So, you know, it was like, whatever, it was 10 hours of recording and 15 hours of listening, and I don't know, that's just kind of how you do it in a situation like that.
Yeah, when you get guests in, it's so, to review, you sort of pursue any concept so that you have it on hard drive now, you say, instead of tape, I guess. But so you have it down.
Well, and my idea for this record is, you know, let's not shy away from pedal steel. I adore pedal steel guitar, you know, and I feel like maybe in the past we've avoided it because we didn't want to be too country. And, I, you know, I just was like, let's put as much pedal steel on this record as we can possibly think of, and then just see how it shakes down. And I think there ended up being pedal steel on Cinnamon Road, but it was like, you know, two notes that John ultimately did that he wanted to make sound like, you know, Harvest. I don't know who played pedal steel on Harvest, but whoever that was, that's what he was going for.
Probably is, isn't it Ben Keith?
It was Ben Keith. That's right.
And then the song itself, what's the feeling, or how would you approach any question about, like, you know, what's that song feel like it means to you or something?
I think Cinnamon Road is just kind of amusing on the difference between childhood and adulthood, basically.
Cinnamon Road feeling like a magical place that we're looking for, or...
Yeah, represents, I guess, the magic, if you will, of a certain childhood overview where you can shake, you know, the worries that and the preoccupations that seem kind of omnipresent in adulthood. I mean, it's very magical being a kid. You know, at the best of times.
Yeah. I asked you about this a little bit, you know, asking you before if you think about where the songs land. Do you find any amusement in having fans or journalists or people come up to you and say, this is what the song sounds like to me? Or does that get in the way of your own, you know, artistic creation of it?
No, somebody else's interpretation or of what a song means to them, or what, you know, wherever it resonates with them, that I never have an issue with that. I don't have a preconceived idea of what people should be getting out of it, you know, versus what they do get out of it. I mean, The Sunny Came Home, that was amusing because it was a different kind of song for me, in that it was a real story, and it kind of implied something, you know, diabolical, but it didn't say what. So just hearing what people thought, you know, she'd done or thought had happened to her was fun. And in truth, I never really had a completely specific idea, you know, about what any of that was. So that was a lot of fun. But the great thing about, you know, music or art in general is what it brings up, you know, for the listener or the beholder.
Yeah.
You know, it's very personal.
Right. It's like the painting or anything else. Yeah. So I don't want to do song by song, but I want to kind of give you a chance if there's a track that you just love to talk about. You know, this is one of my favorites because, feel free, because I don't want to overlook something that has a special connection for you.
Okay. All the songs really work for me and feel very good. One that I, for some reason, go back to perhaps more often, for some reason, is I'm Gone. And, I think it's because, maybe it's because I wrote it alone, so it's very basic to me. And I had an initial idea where all the music got written, and I had sort of an overview of it, but in the end, I really wrote all the lyrics one night. And it was, you know, one of those... It was not comfortable. I was not feeling too great on that particular night, and but I was feeling good enough to be able to, you know, turn it into something. And it was fun, actually, even though it was... Did I just say it wasn't fun? Yeah, well, it was I was not feeling particularly comfortable, but it was fun to mess with it, you know, and be, you know, just be kind of vile. And, I mean, it's not a vile song, but, you know, just be dark. And it just happened pretty fast. And then I sang it really fast. So I guess it feels very fresh to me.
What about performing these songs live? You've been on the road a little bit so far. Have those been acoustic shows, and then you're coming out with a band later, or what's it been, and what's the plan?
I did one show with a band, and there'll be a couple more, but mostly I've played these songs acoustically, and it's just a matter of finding the character in the more, I don't know, up-tempo songs that are a little more rocked out, you know, just finding the character in those when I play them alone. That's kind of the trick to doing that. But, yeah, I've played them all. I've played them all by myself, and it works.
Well, that was important to you to be able to do that, you told me.
It's always important to be able to do that. And there are songs on Whole New You that I just can't play. One of them John played piano on, and I don't have a piano with me ever, and I wouldn't know how to play it anyway. And I like the song, it just doesn't get performed, which is kind of too bad. It's One Small Year. Mm-hmm. But these can all be played, so that's fun.
Are the shows this fall going to be mostly yourself?
No, the shows this fall will be me and Buddy Miller and a bass player that I haven't found yet.
Oh, okay.
So I get to reunite with Buddy. It comes full circle.
Well, that'll be sweet.
It'll be great. He's awesome.
Yeah. What was the trio that you played on the 54th Street sessions that I see the video? I mean, I know Larry Klein, but I forget the guitar player.
The trio I worked with in the past is Larry Klein on bass and Stuart Smith on guitar. And,
oh, right.
Stuart, Don Henley saw one of those shows in L.A., and Stuart is now an Eagle.
Well, that's a compliment, I guess, yeah.
It's great for Stuart, and not so good for me, but that's okay. I'm happy for Stuart.
Do you want to say anything about the choosing of the cover songs on this album? Because I know that you were toying with a U2 cover, and at one time there was thought about a Chris Whitley cover. You know, how did you go through that process?
I recorded a lot of I recorded several covers. I recorded the U2 song, "Pride in the Name of Love." I recorded that for this record. I recorded a Chris Whitley song. I recorded the two covers that you hear on the record, which is the Paul Westerberg song and the Bee Gees song, and just kind of weighed out what fit. Although, honestly, the Bee Gees song was done during the mix. It's so fast, and it was such a lark, you know, we didn't really even think in terms of it being on the record. We just were like, oh, this is fun, you know, turn on the tape recorder, and then we thought, are we crazy? This feels like it's working, you know? So we put it on there.